In 1862, the federal government gave states land they could sell to raise money and create land-grant universities like Cornell and MIT. New research shows that for 28 states, at least some of that land came from Kansas and Kansas's native tribes. Stephen Basaha of the Kansas News Service explains how universities benefited from indigenous people being forced off their land.
Kansas's Flint Hills are famous for their grass, the kind of grass guaranteed to put extra pounds on the cow, mainly because it tastes better.
Kind of like eating steak every day.
That's part of the reason why in the 80s, Scott Winland and his wife Stephanie bought these 32 acres of pasture in southeast Kansas, roughly halfway between Wichita and Pittsburgh. What they didn't know was that more than 100 years earlier, this land was sold to help pay for the creation of Ohio State University, and some of their neighbors' lands benefited other states.
We were talking about, well, so-and-so lives on land that went to New York.
Yeah, we looked at, I think somebody lived on land that was in South Carolina, had gone to South Carolina.
They say it gives them an added sense of pride in their home, knowing it's part of Ohio State history.
Reverence, that it was a bigger than what we thought.
Does this mean you're going to become Ohio State fans?
No.
I'm a Buckeye fan when they're not playing K-State.
But before that land was owned by Kansans, sold by Ohio, or controlled by the federal government, it was home to native tribes. At the start of the 1800s, indigenous people filled Kansas. But by the end of the century, tribes in Kansas had been forced into treaties with the federal government, giving up their land. A new analysis from High Country News shows 900,000 of those acres taken from Kansas tribes were used to pay for 33 of the country's land-grant universities.
It's almost like a 19th century form of money laundering.
Jim Leiker is a professor of history at Johnson County Community College. He says it wasn't just Western settlers that benefited from indigenous tribes being forced out of Kansas.
The reality is that more of those resources that were stripped away from Native people were diverted back east. And the children of elite families who graduate from these institutions really have no idea that what made those institutions possible in the first place was the result of what was happening 1,500 miles to the west.
Yeah, to me, nothing tells the story of the kinds of people better than a map and a population chart.
Pauline Sharp is a member of the Kaw Nation, who also call themselves Kanza.
One of our last full bloods said, every time they moved us, they shortened our name.
The map Sharp mentioned shows the land she's standing on is part of an 80,000-acre square near Council Grove. In 1846, a treaty forced the Kanza to live here, a piece of the Flint Hills less than half of a percent the size of the tens of millions of acres they used to roam decades earlier. And as their land shrank, so did their numbers. In 1848, there were 1,600 Kanza. By the end of the century, there were just 200 remaining.
That would be like everybody in the U.S. dying except the state of California. That's how ravaged they were.
Now, the Kanza did get some money for their land, but states raised more than 60 times as much selling that land than Kansas tribes received for it.
It's horribly sad to know how your ancestors were treated. You always have to wonder, what if that hadn't happened?
Sharp says land-grant universities have done a lot of good. Her husband and father-in-law both graduated from K-State, but she says white Americans benefited, not the Kanza. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Stephen Basaha in Wichita.
The Kansas News Service reports on the health and well-being of Kansans, their communities, and civic life. Find more stories at ksnewsservice.org.